town. I think we're very fortunate to have the financial staff that we have.
And I would like to point out that in the article Dave cited about the Sussex County, Delaware, it says, with no sales tax, your money goes further in antique shops and designer outlets. So I just want to emphasize that that's why Sussex County is a great place to live.
Mm-hmm. Of course, do you really think you ought to add this in that paper at all? Because this is going to bring in more people and prepare for highways and then we have to give them permits and all this.
Bring it on.
Sam,
bring
that's, what,
on,
you, that's
Sam.
What you want. I want you to sell the farm.
Ms. Webb, you are on.
Thank you.
Sell the farm, Sam. Sell the farm.
I have bank accounts for your consideration today to be open and two resolutions. The first one represents four bank accounts, and these bank accounts are for our housing programs. Every year when we get the new grants allocated to us in CDBG, the NSP, the HPG, and the home funds each year, we open new accounts as these are grant funds and must be kept separate from other funds or previous grant accounts, so we segregate them. Delaware National Bank is the bank we use for these accounts. By using this bank, it gives us diversification. There's no fees, no minimum balance, and they must be in non-interest-bearing accounts. So I'm recommending today a resolution that would authorize opening these four accounts with Delaware National Bank. And I have it to read if there's not any questions. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the resolution authorizing the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with the Delaware National Bank bearing the signatures of any two of Vance Phillips, President, Michael H. Vincent, Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, and a signature may be a facsimile provided. One live signature is on check or withdrawal.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Ms. Webb, is this motion complete, or is there any need for further discussion?
No, it's just a resolution that bank needs to open the accounts.
Okay. Nothing else. We'll take the vote. Ms. Stever?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Our vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. And the second resolution on another account is Sussex County Council Escrow Reserves Development Corporation. And what this represents is a line of credit bond that we have called on the reserves development property. And this bond was almost getting ready to expire. So to protect our interest, this case is tied up in litigation. And we wanted to call our bond on this before it expired. And it is with a trust agreement being set up in an escrow account with the county being the trustee. And until this is resolved, this money will stay there reserved for us until we figure out what's going to go on with that court case.
What kind of...
Is that just...
Oh, I'm sorry. Wilmington Trust Company. That's where the line of credit's called, so that's where we're going to open up the escrow account.
Do you have a motion?
I have a resolution. Please. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve authorizing the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with the Wilmington Trust Company bearing the signatures of any two of Vance Phillips, President, Michael H. Vincent, Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, and a signature may be a facsimile provided one live signature is on check or withdrawal.
Motion, please.
Yes.
Motion and from Mr. Wilson, second, please.
Second.
A motion and second to approve the resolution read by Ms. Webb. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. And my next item of business is amending an ordinance, a debt ordinance that was issued last year, I believe. If you remember last week, I talked about using the recovery zones. We actually allocated the recovery zone for economic development bonds to two of our own projects. Well, one of the projects, the Inland Bays facility expansion, the debt ordinance had already been done a while ago because we had some state money that we have received, SRF money, and they like to close on their bonds right away when they give you they authorize the fund. So we closed on that, not realizing that this was an avenue that we wanted to use for some better financing. So under the advice of our bond attorney, we would just like to amend the ordinance number 2098 authorizing the issuance of up to $10,475,000 of general obligation recovery zone economic development bonds of Sussex County for the design, construction, and equipping of improvements to an expansion of the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith. And basically what this does, if you saw the ordinance in your packet, you'll see in different areas where it makes reference to this bond to become a recovery zone economic development bond for the project, and just notates in the ordinance is this is how the financing will go. It's just basically letting us use the rural development bond as an economic development bond for this financing, which we were going to do anyway, but just as a normal rural development bond. Mm-hmm. I just need an introduction today.
I'll introduce it.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Second.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, for your consideration this morning, I wanted to discuss and make some suggestions about the current Sussex County Emergency Operations Plan. As you remember, a few weeks ago, you approved an RFP that was sent out to the public for proposals to update and review our Emergency Operations Plan. We received 5 applications from consultants, and through our committee process, we reviewed the applications and graded them, and the committee had our committee held a meeting to discuss the virtues of the 5 different proposals, and then we interviewed, according to state code, we interviewed the company that we felt was the strongest in making a presentation, and they also happened to be the lowest responsible bidder. So we were very impressed with the credentials of this company, Tektronic, and Joe Thomas, our director of emergency operations, is here to discuss some of the details. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that we had followed the RFP process in accordance with state code and formed the committee and had the hearing. Joe?
We had the interview with Tektronic, and they have a vast array of experience with rewriting as well as writing original emergency operations plans. They've dealt with jurisdictions similar to our makeup as far as volunteer fire departments, local municipals that are very small as far as their administrative structure. And what they brought to the table, their scope of work was, we were very impressed with how they plan on accomplishing this. So that was, the committee unanimously agreed on choosing them or make a recommendation for them.
I've been looking in my packet, and I don't see.
First of all, there was $50,000 budgeted for this review and update, and their bid is $35,000, which is 30% below the budget. That's not really the most important virtue here. The most important feature, we believe, is their experience. And I should apologize, Mr. President, you didn't have anything in your packet because we just had our interview yesterday. We were trying to squeeze this. We were trying to compress the time, quite honestly, because we've been alerted by our finance director that there's some scheduling times that we should be concerned about. So we were trying to get this to you quickly. I can provide you with copies of this one or all 5 proposals if you like. I don't have enough copies today. They just sent us 7 copies, which the committee used. Our review committee comprised of Joe Thomas, Robbie Murphy from our EMS department, Rodney Marble from engineering, and Eddie Parker from assessment, and myself. We were the reviewing committee that looked at the proposals and evaluated them, and we made a sort of a matrix of how we apprised those consultant groups. We were hoping for your endorsement. I recognize the fact that you didn't have any information to read. We were hoping that possibly you could rely on the committee's report to make that endorsement. But if you would rather not, we can certainly do whatever you wish.
Is the committee's report anything more than, is it something that we have?
No. It is basically a chart that we filled out that, Joe, do you have yours?
I've got all 5 of them.
Yeah. Joe has a chart there that he can show you that was, this was the framework that we used, the template to evaluate the companies. We, of course, we were appraising their qualifications, their experience, the location of the office in which would do our plan, and then the interview yesterday brought to light the details of some of their qualifications, and Joe, being our expert, was very impressed, and our other emergency response folks were equally impressed by their presentation.
Mr. Cole, you any thoughts? You've got a lot of experience with this.
Yeah, I know it. Nope.
Do you want to make a motion to go one way or the other?
I'll make a motion. We move forward.
Okay. I have a motion from Mr. Cole to accept the recommendation of the All Hazards, the Emergency Operation Plan Committee. And would you repeat the winning company if you want to couch it as winning?
Their name is Tectonic Engineering and Surveying Consultants, P.C., from Richmond, Virginia.
And you believe this will be a roughly
$35,000? $35,000 is their quote for this service.
Okay. And the scope of their service will be, again, for the record?
The scope will be to review and update our current Sussex County Emergency Operations Plan.
Okay. We had no other bidders?
We had four other bidders yesterday. There were five altogether.
But they were all.
And this is under the professional service process.
Correct.
As opposed to any kind of a low bid type process.
Correct.
Okay.
We had budgeted $50,000, and if the bids had been 50 or above, that would have triggered a different analysis process. Since they were all under $50,000, and their winner was $35,000.
Okay. I have a motion to approve the recommendation of the committee to hire the consultant Tectonic to review and update our plan. A second by Mr. Wilson. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Try to get us something in our packet next time.
Yes,
we'll do. Mr. LeCate.
He's going to tell us something about...
Oh, wait, you've got a little bit more, don't you?
Yeah, I have.
Sorry,
yes, I do.
Trying to dismiss you.
Mr. President, members of council, I have some very important issues to discuss with you. The General Assembly, as you know, is in the peak of their season, making new laws that affect all of us in Delaware. And I wanted to review with you a number of items in the legislature that I have concerns with. You do not have this in your package, and I'll give this out to you again because it's beginning to surface again. This is an old bill that was introduced last year, Senate Bill 132. This is a land use bill. This is a land use bill that you've seen before. It was introduced last year in 2009, and this bill would require that any zoning ordinance that you consider would have to be first cleared through the Delaware State Planning Office in Dover. This bill hasn't seen any activity since last season. However, I have heard, this is hearsay, in the halls of Legislative Hall that there are those people searching to move this bill again. So I wanted to reaffirm or get direction from you. Last year, you were opposed to this bill, and I have not had to exercise or do anything with this bill until now, but since I have simply heard that this bill is beginning to get traction again, I thought that I should reaffirm our opposition or find out where you stand on it.
It's just a review. That's all it is, right?
Correct.
And they have no say over our...
Well, there is an amendment, and the amendment to this bill softens it some. You're right, Councilman Deaver. The amendment to this bill gives the State Planning Office, I believe it's 10 days, to make that review, or the authority comes back to you. I believe it's 10 days. It might be 30 days. Let me check.
I think we're going to take the same position.
Just... 20 business days. The amendment to the bill, if the amendment goes with the bill, then we would have to send zoning ordinance changes that you're considering to the State Planning Office. but they would have to either review them or forgive their opportunity within 20 days.
Mm-hmm. So there's a 20-day window for them to review?
Correct. The amendment...
That's all it is a review.
Right. Well, it is a review, but the state probably could cause some delay if their review came out unfavorable.
Right.
And this bill doesn't say that exactly, but it does say that this bill provides for certain review of land use ordinances by the Office of State Planning prior to approval or adoption by the respective county or municipal government. Saying prior to approval would indicate to me that they would be able to stop your approval if they didn't approve of it themselves.
Let's put the camel's nose under the tent. I'm totally against it.
Well,
I don't see where it would slow anything down.
Miss Deaver, please continue.
I don't see from what you're saying where it would necessarily slow us down if they miss the mark and don't get the review to us on time. Am I misunderstanding the bill?
Wherever, if you've got it, could shed any light on any on interpreting bills like this?
I am just taking a look at it now for the first time.
Okay.
Now, how is this different than the PLUS process?
The
PLUS process doesn't stop you. The PLUS process gives you comments from the state agencies, but they don't have the authority to stop your approval.
No. Wait, they don't under this.
PLUS is voluntary, isn't it?
Yes.
Right, it's nothing. Yeah, there's
well,
yes.
We have to
it's required, but it's voluntary.
Required, but it's voluntary.
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry.
Required to go through the process.
All right.
Well, we have to submit to PLUS under the law.
Yeah, I can tell you that I don't know how serious this is. I'm just sharing what I've heard with you, and hearsay is all over that building at this time of year, so I just want to share with you everything I've heard. I don't know that this bill is going to move. It's.
I hope not.
Yeah, I wanted you to know that there's been some talk of moving it again, and if you want me to take a position, I will. If you want me not to take a position, I won't. I just wanted you to know that I didn't want to come to you and say, oh, that bill got passed that we vehemently opposed last year, and I didn't tell you about it.
Without direction, will you continue the position of council from last year, which was in opposition?
Well, I'm going to
yes.
Well,
without direction, I probably wouldn't do anything, sir. I would want some direction from the council in some form, or I would just stay quiet whenever this bill comes.
All right, I'll make a motion today here that if it is just a review and there's only 20 days, mm-hmm. that it is tied up. Unless there's something else which I don't have in front of me. I have no problem that I think there is an obligation on our part when it comes to land use, and this is for 50 residential units or 50,000 square foot of disturbance, I guess,
mm-hmm.
That since we have so much, we rely on state agencies for guidance and everything else.
I have no planner.
And we lack the planning staff that other counties have. But anyway, it just being reviewed in 20 days is not a burden, no. I don't believe. And I would say that we would not be unfavorable to that bill. And
it might be better wise used. Better word you could use there, George. I'm not in favor. Don't use we because I.
Well, I made a motion. I made a motion to the council would because I'm not. I don't like the motion, Sam. That's we've taken a position with Vance's direction that we, based on a motion from a year ago, are opposed to it. I'm not opposed to having the state planning office, which we're supposed to coordinate with on things, to review, and they have 20 days to do it. That doesn't seem to be a burden.
Year ago, we had the whole council here, and we voted against it. So why are we changing it today?
Because it's on the agenda today, honey.
Well, same bill.
Huh?
Okay. Same bill.
We have a motion on the floor. There will be an opportunity for discussion. You worded that.
I would
not
just
that
say
we're going to support it, but rather we're not going to oppose it. Is that what you meant?
That the Sussex County Council, as long as it's just a review and it's only 20 days, we do not oppose.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm second.
We don't
that.
Support it, but bill. We do not oppose. A motion and a second not to oppose this bill. Any discussion, Mr. Wilson?
I think it's just, I know George did understand it a while ago, but I think it's just the idea of putting the Campbell up to the tent and letting him get his nose under it.
I do
and
understand.
The first thing you know, say, you're sitting here saying, well, we don't want to take any responsibility, give it all to the state.
I didn't say that. Sam, I didn't say that.
Still in control.
Any further discussion before we take the vote? I would, and I will open the floor so I don't have the last word, but I would like to say that it reminds me of the conversation when the council first talked about PLUS and how, I don't know if other council members used the camel example, but they said that it was the beginning of a process that would continue to evolve to put more and more of the authority in the hands of the state. So the nose may already be under the tent, Mr. Wilson, and this is just the ears and the neck. But in any case, we're going to take this vote unless you have anything else.
I don't. It just sounds like Chicken Little down there. The sky's falling. Move along.
Hey, George, I'm not Chicken Little, but I believe in home rule. What's the purpose of electing a
I didn't say we did.
Did ever going to give the responsibility to the state?
We haven't done that with it. It's a review.
Well, that's what you're trying to do here.
Okay, Sam.
You look at it the way you want. That's my opinion.
I understand your opinion.
Mr. Moore.
Yes, just reviewing this, and as I indicated, I'm looking at this for the first time. I'm somewhat confused by the language because at the very first part of the sentence, it says all land use ordinances adopted. So that would indicate that it was already adopted. But then later it states prior to approval or adoption by the respective county or municipal governments. So I'm not sure if they're asking after it's adopted, but before the any plans can be filed.
That, as it's written, if they're reviewing it after it's adopted, I still have no problem with this bill because it's a review and there's a 20-day period.
It doesn't matter what it says, Everett. George's going to vote for it anyway.
No, Sam, if you just listen to what Mr. Moore said, it means it could be that the ordinance is already adopted. So you've already made the decision. So, again, but I'm just saying, as this bill's written, I believe we have to work with the state planning office, and I believe reviewing applications is part of their responsibilities. And I don't have any problem with them looking at it, reviewing it, and giving us recommendations. I can handle it, Sam. I can read things, and I can handle those kind of either positive recommendations or negative recommendations.
Yeah, it's just a recommendation.
I just wanted to point out
that is interesting. Maybe somebody might clean up the bill, and then we'll have to have a vote again. But on this one, I don't have any problem.
Okay, a question for Mr. Moore from the chair, if I could. Are you suggesting that it's possible that once this body has approved an application, then the state office of planning could get involved?
That's what concerns me reading this language,
okay,
because it does indicate it adopted in that very first line, and that would indicate that they wanted to make comment prior to the record plan being filed.
So it's almost a veto authority.
But from this synopsis and this portion, it doesn't appear to give a veto. It's silent.
Prior to approval.
It's very.
Or adoption.
It's very confusing to me the way it's drafted.
Well, we could also send Mr.
Can you wait till Mr. Moore gets done?
Mr.
It's Moore. It's just very confusing the way it's drafted.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Godwin, it's a confusing bill, but my motion is that we don't oppose a review, you know, and.
Your motion is not to oppose Senate Bill 132.
Okay.
We will call the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote no.
You are
to remain silent.
Right.
Will do.
I would ask you to come back next week if we could squeeze it in. I know we've got the budget, but you need to be here every week between now and June 30th.
I do indeed.
And I would suggest that this may be one of those bills we want to bring up again.
Well, maybe because of what Mr. Moore just pointed out, maybe we ought to give him some direction on if this bill surfaces again, that the Sussex County considers it confusing and ill-written, and so that this doesn't come back again. And I would make a motion that we would direct him to go to Dover and in relationship to this bill and this bill only, saying that we feel that it is as if confusing and doesn't make much sense.
Okay. Motion to direct Mr. Godwin to tell the General Assembly this bill does not make much sense.
It's confusing.
I have a whole list of those bills, and I tell them that.
You can use better words than that if you'd like.
People say that there are conflicting.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Well, maybe we could say that it has words in it that conflict with each other.
It's not part of the motion, but
it's conflicting or it's confusing.
I think Mr. Godwin can use a degree of discretion.
I think he understands. I'll vote for that.
Mr. Wilson.
But the bill's confusing.
Yes.
Doesn't make sense.
What George said?
We're going to direct Mr. Godwin to try to get some clarity on this. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
There we go.
Although...
Moving down through our list, one more bill that I wanted to just get your attention on. House Bill 300 is a Freedom of Information Act amendment. And what it does is it says that if someone makes a request of you for information through the Freedom of Information Act, you must answer them within 10 days. It didn't say supply the information requested. It simply says answer them. And that bill is going to be worked on in committee this week, as I understand. And I didn't know if you wanted me to make any comments in that committee hearing or not. The caveat that kind of lets you out of the 10-day requirement in the bill, it says that you have to answer the request within 10 days, and you can have an extension. You can have one or two extensions of the 10-day period to produce the information if you have justifiable reason, such as the records are archived or they've been put on, you know, microfilm or something like that. If you have a legitimate reason why you need more than 10 days to turn over the information, that's possible. But I just wanted, if you want me to oppose that in hearing, I'll do that. Many other local governments will be opposing this because it really squeezes down the time that you have to provide them with information.
I make a motion to give us longer time.
I would agree, second that.
Yeah.
Motion and second.
And I got another comment on that same thing for you.
We'll open it up for discussion.
No,
or later?
No, after this, right? This is just in conjunction with this.
Mr. Wilson, would you repeat the language of that motion, please?
10 days is not enough time.
Yeah, just a longer time period.
Yeah.
We don't know what, but just
I think they're going to hear that a lot in the committee.
We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
On the Freedom of Information, I wouldn't mind if we have consensus here. The concern I've heard about various times is the request for personal emails versus county official emails, and that if we started having to, attorneys, bringing up or letters here saying we want all our personal emails and stuff, is there a way we can get the legislature, or do we have to do that now? Is it something the legislature could do, is make part of this Freedom of Information Act that personal emails of individuals are not part of any official record, that only county, that to our website and to our county email, that would be something different, but I'm just saying my personal emails shouldn't be.
Oftentimes that issue comes up during litigation.
Okay.
And that's an area of concern, is in litigation as part of a lawsuit against the council or council.
Could that be
person.
Part of this Freedom of Information of
discussion
act, or of the act that as if they're amending the Freedom of Information Act, is that where when they ask us for information, isn't it through the Freedom of Information Act?
Sometimes it can be, but oftentimes it's as an actual part of a lawsuit and part of the litigation.
Okay. Well,
there is discovery that takes place, has nothing to do with FOIA.
Considering then just this Freedom of Information Act, is it possible that the Sussex County Council would say, would direct Mr. Godwin to lobby for us to see if they could get an amendment in there that to exclude any personal emails from any request?
It's my understanding that that's the case. That,
yeah. I don't know.
I believe that on your personal emails, because the FOIA is for government purposes and your official websites. Where the issue has been coming up, as I indicated, was in the litigation, which was not part of FOIA, but just actual interrogatories, depositions, that type of discovery that takes place in litigation, is where that's been.
Okay, all right, okay. I'm just a little concerned that it starts getting too much of a burden on individuals like at our level of government to provide that kind of stuff.
Mr. Cabo.
Yes, sir. I have some good news. We have petitioned the General Assembly to allow us to use the JP Court to enforce sewer connections, and that bill's number is House Bill 333. It's passed both chambers of the legislature.
Good.
It's been sent upstairs to the governor, and as I go through my review, you'll find out why I haven't called the governor yet, ask him to sign the bill. Well, of course, I want him to sign the bill into law, but I thought I would wait until after the legislature adjourns on the 1st of July and then go to him with a number of bills that we're looking for, rather than bothering him with one or two as they come through individually. and there are other reasons why I would rather not contact the governor today, which I'll get into later. Included in your package this week, I gave you a copy of the state code for the next piece of legislation, Senate Bill 240. This is the one that adds cats to the list of animals that could cause a dog to be added as a dangerous dog. Because you asked me some questions about this last week, what were good questions. In the state code, Title 7, Chapter 17, 30 under definitions, item number 5, which I think you have, is domestic animals. This piece of legislation, Senate Bill 240, adds cats to the list of domestic animals. The list is currently dogs, poultry, and livestock, because you mentioned rabbits.
I didn't mention rabbits.
Somebody did. Anyway, it would be any harm to a dog, poultry, or any livestock could put a dog on the dangerous dog list. My reason for bringing that to your attention is that there's also legislation to give us responsibility for adjudicating all of the infractions of incidents that are classified under the Dangerous Dogs Bill. That's later down on your report, House Bill 419. My concern there is that while the state is currently transferring to us the responsibilities that go along with dog licensing and law enforcement, it also appears to me like they're adding on to that workload by adding new things that we'll be responsible for that they were never responsible for. So that was my reason for bringing that to your attention. I have objected to that. I have not had the opportunity to object to that yet on either chamber's floor while under discussion, but the sponsors know that I've objected to it. So if you want me to, I will continue to object to adding cats to that list. Might not be a big issue for you. I wanted you to be aware of it.
Cats are hard to deal, you know.
Yeah, let them bring it back next year if they think it's a big deal. I mean, I don't think that they should burden us with that right now.
That was my thought.
We have enough on our minds.
Continue, please.
Okay. The nuisance bill, Senate Bill 265, the farmer's nuisance bill, I have sort of gotten out of the way on that because it appears that the Farm Bureau and the farmers and the legislature are all working on that issue together, and it seemed to be doing it harmoniously, so I've sort of backed out of objecting to that bill. As I told you before, I was concerned about overreach.
Okay.
Okay.
What's
Senate.
Next?
Excuse me. Senate Bill 292 is this is draft legislation that we've had introduced for our use, and it has been introduced in the Senate and has been assigned to the County Affairs Committee. This bill would reschedule our tax assessment date so that we would be closing our tax books and mailing the bills in a closer proximity on the calendar so that we wouldn't have to go back and rebill folks who had transferred their property and thus we've sent the bill to the wrong person. So this will make our office, will allow our office to operate more efficiently, and that bill is moving right along. I'm very happy with the fact that it's been introduced by Senator Venables. It seems to be moving along pretty quickly. And that one's in the Senate. House Bill 449 is our bill over in the House that allows us to change the code as far as appointments to our Planning and Zoning Commission. Our appointments will be based on council district rather than representative district. That bill also has been introduced in the House, released from committee. It passed the House. And the reason it was handled so quickly, you'll be happy to know this. Representative Schwarzkopf put this bill on a consent agenda, which means it really doesn't get any discussion. It was on a list, but 4 or 5 of the bills went right through zip. So he did me a favor there. He did us a favor there by getting that bill out of the House. It's now over in the Senate, and I will go up later today to find out where it is in the Senate because it has not yet been assigned to a committee. The agriculture bills, House Bill 402 and 407, have all passed the House. Representative Walls is working these bills, and they all seem to be beneficial to agriculture.
And what are they, roughly, synopsis?
One of them was a typo. Somewhere in the Delaware State Code, they had emus being regulated under the fruit section. And they wanted to, it's those kind of changes. It's silly little typos and things. Mostly incidental, but since they were ag, I wanted to bring them to your attention. The House Bill 419 is the Dangerous Dogs Amendment. We are not opposing that. House Bill 442, this bill is, I think you have it in your package, but this bill brings some interesting concepts to the floor. Newcastle County opposes this bill, and they would like you to join them in opposing it. And I told their representatives last week that I wasn't sure you would do that, but that I would explain it to you. House Bill 442 makes some changes to the state code, and I hope, yes, John Ashman is here because he may be able to explain this to you as it would fit our sewer business. The beginning of the bill reads, amend Title 26 of the Delaware Code by striking the phrase a service territory in the third sentence thereof and replacing it with the phrase an existing service territory. Now, Newcastle County officials tell me that the way they read that is it would cost Newcastle County their authority in defining where sewer would go unless they already had a pipe in the ground. In other words, they wouldn't be able to stop a private purveyor by saying, wait a minute, you can't go over there and get a CPCN for that territory in Newcastle County because we're planning to put sewer in there and we're calling it a service territory. This would make them have to have a pipe in the ground to show that they actually have an existing service territory. I don't know that your feelings are the same, but they were asking me to solicit your support. John Ashman and Mike are both here. If you gentlemen would like to back me up here as to how we define this difference between a service territory and an existing service territory.
Yeah, we're slightly confused as well. We don't understand the legal significance. I know Mr. Baker, I think maybe even spoken to Mr. Moore on this matter. We would sort of need direction about what is the significance of this wording before we could provide any comment, either positive or negative.
Mr. Baker.
I spoke with Mr. Moore and Mr. Rudd about this a little earlier, but one of the things that we were proposing to do is that I was going to give a call to the proponents of this bill to try to determine what their intent was, because the bill seemed to be more oriented towards Newcastle. The second part of the bill really doesn't have anything to do with us, but it's regarding the sewer territory in the Middletown area. And what I would like to do is give the proponents of the bill a call and see if we can try to determine what their intent is. I think Mr. Moore could tell you it's rather unclear as to how it would affect us.
Yeah, as Mr. Baker indicated, there is no definition of that term, the service area that they were attempting to amend. And there are other sections of the code, there are definitions, but none specifically as to this. So really don't know what they're attempting to do. So I think it needs clarification to determine.
Okay. I'll wait then. I won't address this bill until I get some direction. And I'll tell Newcastle County that the same thing, that we really don't know where we stand on that bill yet. We haven't taken a position yet.
Okay.
I can tell you that the bill is not on agenda, or it's not on a ready list. It's not in a committee yet, so it's not going to. It's probably not going to be dealt with today or tomorrow.
All right. Press on, please.
Next bill that I'd like to bring your attention to. We have four bills up next that we've sort of been waiting for. I've been sitting in Legislative Hall many afternoons and evenings waiting to see if these bills got introduced, and they finally were introduced last Thursday, very late in the day. House Bill 465, this is the bill that takes away the Recorder of Deeds and puts that office into the state's hands. House Joint Resolution Number 12 also would cause the Recorder of Deeds no longer to be an elected position. House Bill 468 is a bill that would do the same thing with the Register of Wills. And House Joint Resolution 13, again, makes the Register of Wills an appointed position rather than elected. I'm told that these two issues, Recorder of Deeds, Register of Wills, have been separated into two pieces of legislation to improve the chances of passing one of them. Apparently, the administration wasn't sure they could get them passed together all in one piece of legislation, that there was more resistance on the Recorder of Deeds than there was resistance for the Register of Wills. So thinking that if they were able to get one of these done this season, that would set the stage for next year. I must tell you that I've talked with a number of legislators about all of these actions, and I have not spoken directly with the sponsors. That's one of the things I was waiting to learn, was who would be the sponsors of these, of this legislation once it came forward. And now that we have sponsors, we can see that the sponsors are all Newcastle County representatives and senators, and I don't have as much interaction with them as I do Kent and Sussex County legislators. I also think that Newcastle County's position, I have found, on all of this is much softer than our resistance. Our resistance, the direction you've given me so far this year, is to resist this movement with everything I can. Newcastle County tells me that, well, we're not sure we're going to resist this because there's wording, there's language in the bills that guarantee us to be held, financially neutral. Well, it really doesn't guarantee anybody anything. I've read it in its detail, and what it says is that if this is passed this year, in January of next year, the administration will set up a committee. It's called a working group, same thing as a committee, and that they are going to recommend how and what legislation needs to be put in place to keep you revenue neutral. Didn't say it guaranteed you revenue. They're going to guarantee you to set up a committee. Then the next hook is that committee must have its work done by January 30th, 2011. That only gives that committee 30 days in the most benign time of every legislative season, which is January, to get done enormous amounts of work that I don't think could be done in 30 days. So I am not at all comfortable that we're being kept revenue neutral by this legislation. Newcastle County seems to feel a little more comfortable with this. I am not. I will, when it comes to legislation, what's in black and white is the law. And what you hear in the hallway, like this one, is not always true or is not always valid. So I wanted to just warn you that these four pieces of legislation are all up to be in committee hearings tomorrow. Any of you who could go with me or meet me up there for this hearing, the hearing is at 3:30 tomorrow in the House Majority Caucus Room, which is the hearing room on the first floor, and three of our four bills are going to be discussed. The two House bills, 465 and 468, and House Joint Resolution 13. I think it was a typo. They didn't include House Joint Resolution 12 because I saw it posted on another hearing schedule that makes no sense whatsoever. But in any event, any of you who can join me tomorrow in letting the legislature know how we feel about these four bills, it doesn't appear, would be very helpful, it doesn't appear that we're going to have both Newcastle County and Kent County with us in this opposition. Kent County is definitely opposed to it. From what I have heard, Newcastle County is soft on whether they want to oppose it or not. It appears that Newcastle County somehow feels secure in the wording in the bills that I've just explained to you.
Are you saying Kent County is not with us?
They are with us. Oh, Kent County is very much with us.
That's what I understood.
Yes.
I've just misunderstood here.
Right. But I'm sorry that I miscommunicated that.
Okay.
I was hoping to count on Newcastle County because they had been telling me all through the season that they were going to oppose this. Now that it's actually happened, they've softened up some. Okay.
Continue. Mr. Baker?
I just handed out some information we tried to put together on this. If you have any objections to anything in this information or you think we ought to revise it to include something, please let me know. We may pass something out like this tomorrow. I'll be attending the committee.
Great.
The committee,
if any of you can come tomorrow, it would really be helpful for the committee to hear directly from the elected officials. They hear from me most days that they're in session. They hear from Dave when it's really important. But to hear it from you would be very, very important. You would raise the temperature of that opposition considerably.
What time are you going to
leave? 1 o'clock? I'm going to be leaving here around noon because I have other hearings to attend. But this one, this hearing that I'm talking with you about is at 3:30. And yes, 3:30 in the House Majority Caucus Room.
It's always good to talk to them before you go into hearing.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Now I have a couple other quick pieces of legislation that I want to review with you. There's a draft bill floating around that has not yet been introduced, and I'm very reluctant to bring caution about draft bills because sometimes the drafts change a lot before they're actually introduced. Mr. Baker had pointed this bill out to me last week, and I wanted to bring it up. This bill proposes, and I think I gave you a copy of it, a draft, provides a mechanism for providing relief from stormwater management fees imposed on property owners who do not currently discharge stormwater directly into stormwater conveyance systems constructed, maintained, or operated by the local government or conservation district imposing the fee. Fees currently charged in violation of this section are rescinded. The reason I'm concerned about this is we don't have such an animal in this county. And I know that there was some energy in the Minner administration to set up a statewide utility for stormwater management. Stormwater management, as we know, sometimes becomes a really important issue in different parts of the state. But since the bill is here, and I'm confused by this movement, this bill would relieve certain people of fees that aren't even established yet. So there isn't anything we can do about this. I just wanted you to be aware of it. And if something is introduced, I will certainly be sure to make you aware of the details.
Okay.
Two more bills. House Bill 466. You don't have copies of this because it was just introduced on the 10th. So I'm going to ask that this get passed down to the board. This act amends the existing law regarding specifications for the humane handling, care, and treatment of dogs to include restrictions on tethering dogs for extended periods of time between the hours of 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. and when there is inclement weather. This bill also directs the animal shelters located in the state of Delaware to implement a public awareness campaign to educate the public about the dangers of tethering dogs in these conditions. Here we have more piling on, if you ask me. They're trying to add more regulations onto the dog's responsibility that they've just switched over to us.
I don't know why we need a law to tell people that dogs, are in trouble when they're out like that.
This bill has just been introduced, and it's been introduced by Representative George, and she is usually the Humane Society's sponsor, and that's why it came from her. She was also the sponsor of a previous bill that we worked on, which was last year, which was House Bill 95. That was a massive animal regulations bill. I'd like to know how you'd like me to address this one.
Well, Sam, do you think this time period is too short?
Oh, it shouldn't be.
15 minutes? What do you think of that one?
Almost another camel deal, isn't it?
Can you tether your camel? How do you?
It doesn't sound like there's a lot
I think
of
it's ridiculous. I think it's a ridiculous bill.
That's right. I agree.
I think it's a waste of time.
Ms. Deaver?
I'm not in favor of this.
Okay. People it should. Sounds unanimous.
Okay, I should oppose that.
I mean, I don't know if we're going to send people out or try to, if somebody's going to send somebody out and clock a dog tethered and if looking around 11 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning for dogs that are tethered. Right.
Okay, I'll oppose that bill.
35 degrees.
They'll be checking to see if I've had the calves nursed right time.
I think that nuisance farmer bill was directed at you.
Could have been.
Mr. Godwin, if you talked about it, I apologize, but we had one of the representatives from Denrec down here trying to get us to kind of sign off on that body of legislation, regulation.
That was House Bill 419.
Okay, and we continue to be opposed.
We are not opposed to that. I was directed not to oppose that bill.
Is that the unfunded mandate?
That's the dangerous dog. That's the one that I told them we didn't like it because I quoted you in saying it's an unfunded mandate. And the official position that I have taken is that we are not opposed to the bill. And there's a letter from Mr. Baker setting that policy.
The council at the time did not take a position on it when Mr. Emery was here.
I opposed it in committee.
You just didn't take position.
By quoting what you had said. But later that day, we changed, and I was told not to oppose the bill, so I backed out of it, and they passed it. It went through the House the other night. It passed the House.
Is it passed the Senate?
No.
I guess I just want to hear from the council if I can interrupt you. Are you guys okay? It's a body of regulations that will force us to administer dog control in the fashion prescribed by the state. I had felt that if we're going to pay for the program, then we ought to be vested with the authority to create the regulations. Go ahead, Mr. Godwin.
I'm sorry, it did not pass. It was on the agenda, and I sat there and watched, and they went right down the agenda, and about 7 o'clock, they just didn't do that when they went home instead. So it's on today's agenda. House Bill 419 was not voted on yet, so it still is in the House. But our official position has been the last few days that we're not opposed to it. We have no position.
Well, there's a little difference in that language. Not opposed almost infers that we would support it. Now, no position is no position. Does the council have any concerns about the state mandating the regulations for dog control, which they have no vested interest in from a financial perspective?
I'll say this about it, Vance. If the state wants to come back and tell us everything what to do, they can have the dog bill back. They can have the whole works.
Well, then give it back to them, Sam.
I'm in favor.
How do you do that?
So if they don't want to finance it and they don't want the dog bill, let us run it and tell them shut up.
You're a tough man.
Ms. Deaver, you any thoughts on this?
Well, we're under contract. We have the Kent County dog control people taking care of dog control. Now, if you had uniform laws, wouldn't that make more sense than have Kent County and Sussex County adopting different ordinances for dog control?
It may, although I am very concerned about the depth of regulation that the state is about to pass, mm-hmm. in the sense of uniformity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I do feel like, Mr. Wilson, that if they're passing on the responsibility to us, I believe that we should have the right to adopt our own ordinance.
Mr. Cole?
I just think we ought to get off to this dog issue and move on to something else. It's bogging us down, so the whole thing. So I don't know, I'm not crazy about a lot of things they're doing up there.
It sounds as if at least there's a consensus to oppose this, Mr. Godwin. If you believe that we should make the motion, Mr.
We ought to have, Wilson, we ought to, yeah, we
could make that motion. Mrs. Deaver, would you second the motion?
Yeah, I'll second
to
the
oppose.
Motion.
Is there any further discussion, Mr. Colton?
No.
Okay, we will take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
So we are opposed to House Bill 419 officially?
Yes.
We support local control of dog control.
We unanimously. Yes.
That's it. Okay.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Wilson, Mr. Godwin.
Get some buttons made.
One last bill that I wanted to bring to your attention. Senate Bill 268 is a bill that relates to the regulation of plumbing inspections. I'm not sure where this bill is exactly, because again, as the wording is somewhat confusing. I'm going to go to the committee hearing tomorrow at 1 o'clock and ask a lot of questions about what this bill's intentions are and how it will affect us, because our director of building inspections, Andy Wright, does not feel comfortable with the wording either. It says in here, and I'll read you a couple of parts that are confusing. Every political subdivision within the state of Delaware, including county, city, and municipal governments, shall enforce the International Mechanical Code, IMC, and the International Fuel Gas Code, IFC, as adopted or modified by the State Board of Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Ventilation, and Refrigeration Examiners. That sounds like we're supposed to handle the whole thing, doesn't it? But the people in Dover, in the state office, have told our inspectors, oh no, we're going to continue the inspections. So I'm confused. And I need the sponsors of this bill to give me some clarity and perhaps a legislative attorney to clear up for me just exactly what this bill does, because I'm confused. And it's up for a committee hearing tomorrow at 1, so I will be there. What I want to represent, if it's okay with you, is that if this bill gives us the inspection responsibility, we don't want that? Is that how you would feel about that? Or is it okay
for
us?
We've never had it, no sense.
You need a licensed plumber to do plumbing inspections. We don't have one on staff, I don't think.
Well, we don't.
The state handles plumbing.
Plumbing and electrical.
Right.
Now, and the counties, the local governments, do not. And
right.
I spoke with Rick Gregory and Mike Pettimons from Newcastle and Kent County yesterday, and they're not prepared for this. However, our conversations with a representative from the one of the state offices, public health, on this bill says that the state would continue to inspect and perform the inspections, but in reading it, that's not what it looks like.
Mr. Moore, have you any thoughts?
Again, it's a bill that's a very confusing way it's written. It implies that we have certain duties and that we have not exercised in the past, have no control over, and unless it was explained to us, I would recommend that, you know, we not pursue this.
Sounds like one of the midnight bills has come through again.
Yeah, so what I will do with this tomorrow is go to the committee hearing, ask a lot of questions about basically our involvement in this piece of legislation, and will it require us to do the inspections or not? And if they say it will require us to do the inspections, I then should resist the bill?
We're only resisting it because of the inspection issue. When it comes to the heating and air and I'll come to another code, I think we should remain silent on that.
Right.
Because it's very important to
right.
Make sure that, you know, especially heating and ventilation, it's critical in some of these new houses. So
I'd like to know what
I just think it's up. An inspection issue is what we're worried about. If they want to adopt the bill and have the state inspect it and make them come to a certain code, that's fine with me.
Georgia sounds like that dog bill to me. They've they want to pass the laws, then pass some down us to take care of them.
Mr. Godwin, it may be appropriate for you to provide council memos on a daily basis while the General Assembly is in session. Maybe you could get Mr. Wilson's fax number. I think he'd be a little more comfortable with that. And
you should take him with you.
I would. I think Mr. Wilson will probably be up there.
He
might be writing the memo.
Tomorrow, if this council is represented in the committee hearing, it could well make the difference. It could tip the scale tomorrow. Because this committee, if the committee does not release those bills to change the Recorder of Deeds, Register of Wills, that will be a very big blow to that whole movement. Or if, because once it gets away from the committee, we're then going to have to deal with 62 voters.
Who's on the committee, please?
I'll give you that in just a second. No, I'm sorry, I don't have that with me. I don't have the committee members with me.
There are two committees.
Well, it's the Sunset Committee, Policy Analysts and Government Accountability. The chairman is Mr. Kowalko. That's for Bill 268. I don't have the committee members in front of me.
One is the House Administration Committee
right.
With Pete Schwarzkopf, Richard Cathcart, Bob Gilligan, Valerie Longhurst, and Dan Short. And the other is Housing and Community Affairs, Gerald Brady, Brad Bennett, Gerald Hocker, Debbie Hudson, Greg Lavelle, Hazel Plant, Mike Ramone, Brian Short, John Viola, Dennis Williams.
Good.
Those
luck.
Are wills and deeds.
Okay. Anything else for Mr. Godwin? Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a long wait.
Stomach's growling.